Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brothers. My brother mentioned a hadith in the beginning of his introduction. He mentioned how a time will come upon this ummah where the one who is holding on to his deen will be equivalent to the one who is holding on to burning coal. Many Muslims, they will hear this hadith and be shocked. They will be shocked at how hard following the deen will become. But trust me, brothers, when I say that the only people who will become shocked when hearing this hadith are those Muslims who are not acquainted with the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are those Muslims who haven't studied the lives of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim. In fact, they are those who know very little about their heritage, who know very little about their history. Because sacrificing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is at the very center of this deen. Sacrificing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the very foundation of this deen. Persevering, remaining steadfast in the face of all adversity is the very basis of this deen. I asked you to trust me earlier, brothers. Don't trust me. Don't trust me, but trust the words that came out of the beloved mouth of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said in an authentic hadith, لَقَدْ أُخِفْتُ فِي اللَّهِ وَمَا يُخَافُ أَحَدٌ وَلَقَدْ أُوذِيتُ فِي اللَّهِ وَمَا يُؤْذَى أَحَدٌ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith is giving his ummah his legacy. He is giving his ummah an autobiography of his life. Not for you to feel sorry for him, but for you to remember the very inception of his mission. But for you to realize the very beginning of this deen. How does Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam want his ummah and the whole of this world to recognize his life? He gave his autobiography in no more than 3 or 4 sentences. He said, "Verily, I have been tested in the path of Allah as no other has been tested. Verily, I have been harmed in the path of Allah as no other has been harmed." We're not talking about random general harm. We're not talking about random general hardship, random general tests. We're talking about tests. We're talking about hardships. Fillah. In the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many people will sacrifice for the dunya. Many people will be tested for the dunya. These are not the tests we're talking about. These are not the hardships Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioning in the hadith. He is saying, "I have been tested and I have been harmed, fillah, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So what are the tests? What are the attacks? What is it? The hardships that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced throughout his prophethood. When we look at his life, we find that the harshest of obstacles, the hardest of hardships, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had to go through was when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, ba'da a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, fasda' bima tu'mar wa'rid anil mushrikeen. Proclaim openly, don't speak about Islam without anyone able to hear you. Don't speak about Islam secretively. Proclaim openly now what has been revealed and turn away from the mushrikeen. And when this ayah was revealed, and when the Sahaba radwanullahi alayhim and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam began proclaiming openly what Allah has revealed, that is when they faced the harshest of hardships, the harshest of tortures. So what we find is that the society in Quraysh, the enemies of Allah, the chieftain of the tribes, they didn't have a problem with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam praying. They didn't have a problem with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam fasting or doing acts of ibadat. It was when he was commanded to proclaim openly and refute the evil prevalent practices and beliefs in his society, that is when he faced the harshest of hardships. So we find that when the Quraysh, they wanted to slander Islam, they wanted to slander the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so no one would bother listening to him. They went to the most intelligent amongst them. They went to Walid ibn al-Mughayrah. And they asked him to fabricate lies, to fabricate slanders against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then they gathered together and started to consult with each other. What shall we call the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Someone suggested to call him al-Kahin. Someone suggested to call him a soothsayer. Walid ibn Mughayrah reconsidered. And he said, a soothsayer speaks in a style different to that of the Quran. So people won't buy this slander. People don't buy this spin. Just like today, they are concocting, fabricating new slanders against Islam. That is exactly what the Quraysh were doing at the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so Walid ibn al-Mughayrah settled on calling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam a sahir, the magician whose words is his magic. He will affect people with his words. And they spread this slander so that no man ever who entered Mecca at the time will ever follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We find that the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim faced the most grievous of tortures. We know the story of Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiyallahu anhu, who when he became Muslim, he was dragged across burning coal until the fat and the sweat from his back would melt and put out the coals. This is the extent to which the Muslims suffered. So why should we be surprised when the brother recites the hadith, the one who holds on to his deen will be like holding on to burning coal? All we should realize is history repeats itself. We should be honored to be put in a position where we can be tested for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the Muslims, the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim did at the very inception of this deen, at the very beginning of this deen. We find after the open proclamation of Islam had been announced, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was praying in the Hijr of the Kaaba, and Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt la'natullahi alayhi, he approached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam while he was praying salah. And he grabbed his garments and started to strangle him. Hanqan shadida. He started to strangle him until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was on the verge of becoming unconscious. And Abu Bakr radiallahu an had to run to his aid and throw Uqba off the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. None of us can say we have been tested to this extent. And yet, we assume that we are living in the times when holding on to this deen is like holding on to the hot coals. Holding on to this deen is only like holding on to the hot coals if you have strong iman and you recognize the falsehood and you speak out against the falsehood. If you don't have strong iman, you don't recognize the falsehood, nothing is difficult for you. Nothing is difficult for me. In fact, every Ramadan, Channel 4 is willing to make the adhan 5 times a day. Ramadan will be announced on national TV. Eid will be announced on national TV. So how easy is it for Muslims to live in this country? How easy is it for Muslims to live in this world if they forget about their heritage? If they forget about their history? If they forget about the life and the mission of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I want to ask you brothers a question. If any one of you could travel back in time as an independent, neutral observer of the society of Mecca, examining and evaluating the attack of the Quraysh upon the Muslims, examining and evaluating the attack of the Quraysh upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba, what would your conclusion be as an independent, neutral observer? Would you come to the conclusion that the Quraysh are not at war with Islam, but they are at war with certain extremists in society? Is that what you would conclude? Would you conclude that the people of the Quraysh, they are not against Islam per se, they are against an extremist named Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, na'udhu billah, thumma na'udhu billah. You would have to reinvent the seerah to make that point. And no Muslim will accept this. And no credible historian will accept this, that this is what happened in the time of Makkah. Then how is it, brothers, I ask you, how is it when today we hear the propaganda that the war on terror is not a war on Islam, that the war on extremism is not a war on Islam, how is it that we remain silent when this propaganda, these lies and fabrications are spread amongst our communities? And even we have so-called Muslim leaders saying, yes, the government isn't against Islam, they're against extremists, they are against terrorists. Before we were reinventing the seerah, today we are reinventing the present. We are giving it a spin if we believe such a thing, because this isn't the reality. The brother mentioned that the government's counter-extremism task force just last week issued a report, a 9-page report. What did it say? What's the title of this report, brothers? Tackling extremism in the UK. And what type of extremism? General extremism? Yep. Chinese socialist extremism? Islamic extremism. Do you know what it mentions in this document, brothers? This isn't a conspiracy theory. You can download it from the government website while you're sitting there on your phones. It says that anyone who believes in the Sharia is an extremist. Yeah, that's not a war on Islam. That's a war against extremism. Can any of us believe this? How can we believe this? How can we remain silent? That's the question. We may not believe it, but how can we remain silent? That's the question I want to explore today, inshaAllah. Do you know what else it says? It mentions Sayyid Qutb's name. And it says he was an extremist. Because Sayyid Qutb was an extremist, and he believed in the Sharia, anyone in the UK who believes in the Sharia is an extremist. Anyone who believes that homosexuality is a sin, just like every other religion, every other major religion deems it to be a sin, anyone who believes that homosexuality is a sin is an extremist. Subhanallah, brothers. And this is not a war on Islam. This is not a war on the very beliefs and values of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find the brother also mentioned, he gave half my talk by the way, the brother also mentioned segregation, where the Prime Minister himself had to intervene and say segregation should be banned, it shouldn't be allowed, because segregation, in inverted commas, in the Islamic community, is a sign of suppression of women. Muslim men suppressing and oppressing women and treating them like sexual objects of temptation. This is the spin. At the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you had Walid ibn Mughayra. Today we have the governments making the exact spin. At least Walid ibn Mughayra, his slander made more sense. Actually, Walid ibn Mughayra's slander, even though it was ignorant, makes more sense than the slander against Muslims, because it's hypocritical, because it's contradictory. Why is it, if Muslims want to or prefer segregation between men and women in their gatherings, why does that have to be interpreted as oppression of women? Why is it that when the Muslim woman wishes, because of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to wear the hijab or the face veil, why is that male oppression? And why is it when a Christian nun wishes to cover herself, that is, and chooses a life of celibacy, that is a sign of nobility and chastity? Who's making the slander? Who's making the spin? How can Muslims remain silent when this slander and this spin is going on right in front of our noses? That's the topic of my discussion. Not whether we believe this rubbish or not, but how can we remain silent? And what was the response of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Did the slander, did the persecution, did the torture on the lives of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, did that make them turn the other cheek? Did that, I'm asking you, did that make them remain silent? Or did that make them and incite them and make them more steadfast in calling to the truth? It's having a complete opposite effect, unfortunately, on majority of the Muslims in today's day and age. And that's what it means to hold on to Islam as though you're holding on to burning coal. That you are brave enough to emulate your prophet and your predecessors, the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim, who persevered in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the deen of Allah the highest. This is what it means to hold onto burning coals. So what we find, brothers, is that the actual test is to firstly understand the attacks within the context they come in. This attack is concerted, this attack is focused, this attack is planned. They're not random attacks. They're coming from the same source. How can you think it's random? They are concerted, focused attacks to do what? Just like the Quraysh didn't attack the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was praying in his home. They attacked him when he started to proclaim openly the call of Islam, when he started to refute the evil practices, the evil beliefs, and the evil systems that were prevalent at the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is when the battle became fierce. This is when the persecution became fierce. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I'll end with this hadith, but this hadith is no more relevant today than it has ever been and will ever be. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith narrated by Ibn Majah, where he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la yahqiranna ahadukum nafsah. Let none of you humiliate yourselves. The Prophet is sitting with his Sahaba, and he says while they're sitting, la yahqiranna ahadukum nafsah. Let none of you humiliate yourselves. Qalu ya Rasulullah, كيف نحقر أحدنا نفسه? They said, O Messenger of Allah, why would any one of us want to humiliate ourselves? They didn't understand. Why would any one of us willingly, intentionally humiliate ourselves? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded. He said, "Man ra'a amran lillahi alayhi fihi maqal." Whosoever saw a matter, any matter, upon which he had to speak up, upon which he had to speak out, upon which he had to make the truth clear from the falsehood, but he remained silent. Why did he remain silent? Because he feared the people. How ironic. How ironic, brothers, that the very reason that we will remain silent in the dunya is because we will feel if we speak out, we will be humiliated. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, the very thing that you fear in this dunya is what you're going to get in the akhirah, humiliation. So remaining silent, turning the other cheek, rolling over, is not an option. The only option is to speak out against the attacks, whether it be on the honor of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it be on the sharia of Islam, regarding the hijab, regarding the khimar, whether it be on segregation, whatever issue we find in the headlines, whatever issue we find people discussing and slandering the deen, you have to be the voice of reason. You have to be the voice of the deen of haqq, of the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So brothers, in ending my talk, the only thing we have to worry about is, are we standing up for the truth? Are we standing up for the honor of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave his autobiography to us, he didn't give it to us to feel sorry for him. He gave it to us to know and realize how this deen began and go back to it and emulate it. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمُ.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.